What is the power of intention? Does it work? What's the difference between intention and belief? Are you living your life with intention? Or is life happening to you? These are a few of the questions that we answer in this podcast. If you're ready to understand a little bit more what the power of intention could do for you, we would love to welcome you to this week's episode of You Already Are. Hello, and welcome to another episode of You Already Are. I am your host, Alyssa Carlson, and this is my co-host,
Michael Gardner. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you. We are happy to be here. We are going to talk about the power of intention. Michael, what is the power of intention?
That is a great question. To describe it, it's a little bit difficult, but intention, what I have found over the years of coaching people, working with people, is intention, to me, the really powerful intention is something that sort of emerges out of us. People will say, well, I'm going to declare I'm going for this, or I'm going to declare I'm going for that. And sometimes we try to force the idea of intention. Intention is synonymous with commitment, but it's something that you feel it in your gut and you don't always know why, but it's something that is gnawing at you, eating at you. And finally, when it emerges, you just know it's going to happen. It's not hype. It's not confidence. It's just something you know that it is happening. It doesn't mean you just get to sit back and watch, but sometimes you do, because there are forces going on that you're part of, but sometimes you take a lot of action, and sometimes you have to pause and say, what's the next step? And the next step might be to wait. But either way, it's just something you feel so strongly in you, and you can't always explain it, but it's what I would call natural knowing. It's just a sense of this is happening and this is happening, and there's something brewing. Sometimes you're clear exactly what it is, but sometimes the only clarity you have is, I'm going to take this step because it's leading me somewhere, and I don't know exactly where, but I know it's where I get to go. Just put it in a nutshell. Anyway, I've been going through a lot of things and working on some things, and I've just been noticing how things are opening up to me. And if somebody says, what are they? Things are opening up. And that's about all I can say, because I don't know where they're going to go, but some things are starting to get a little more clear. Some things are a little hazy, but that's the power of intention. When we get it, it means the universe is working with us to meet us and to assist us in the creation of it. Actually, it's already created. We just get to find it.
So do you think that intention could be synonymous with like your greater purpose? Like you are finding the thing that you know is going to happen, or that you know that you are, you just don't know how or when or where, and you're just following that, the desire that has been placed in your heart, and that's the intention. I'm trying to be more clear on what you mean.
Yes, typically in my experience, yes. I mean, I'll go back to when I used to work in a corporate job, and I'm driving the freeways every day, and I'm thinking there's got to be more to life than this. And my life was good, but something inside of me said there's more for me, and I didn't know what it was. But when I would ponder what would I want to do, I had a vision of me out in front of people speaking, and my thought was, well, why would anybody want to listen to me? I'm working in accounting. That's a snoozer. I mean, I was not excited about it. It was a job that paid the bills. And so my limiting fixed beliefs would try to steer me away from this. Like, oh, you can't do that. Nobody's going to listen to you. You got a secure job. Be okay with what you got and settle for that. But some part of me said, nah, I get there's more. It wasn't something I was forcing. It was just something that wouldn't go away. But I didn't know what it looked like. So I got involved with some network marketing companies, and I did pretty well. And they'd have these big things where, you know, people would come and speak and say, if I can do it, you can do it. And, you know, I knew, they say, you know, they'd have these every 6 months, but I knew the next 6 month extravaganza, I would be there, but with a different company, because that one I gave up on. And probably 90% of the people there weren't at the second one. They'd either given up on the whole thing. But here I was in this company, then in this company, then in this company, saying, yeah, I can do it. I can do it. But I didn't feel it. You know, you get caught up in the hoopla and all that kind of stuff. And that's what they want you to do. So I was kind of thinking, you know, somewhere in network marketing, and I don't have anything against them. I just, it's not my thing. But I had no idea what that looked like. And then in 1991, I went to this training, and the first day, the trainer's up there, and he's very brusque, German, and very direct, and people don't like him. And I, something inside said, I'm going to do this. This is what I'm going to do. My little ego mind said, you can't do this. These people don't like him. You want to be liked. But I just knew in my heart, this is what I'm going to do. And it took me a while to get there, but that's what I did. And I did that for the greater part of 30 years. And that's one event, one example. Lately, I've had some things that have come along. Well, first of all, I've had a friend for years saying, write a book. And I'm like, what can I write that hasn't been written? But he said, well, I'm going to challenge you to write one page a day. So every day I get a little text. And it's a reminder. And so sometimes I start writing and then ideas just come to me. And I'm realizing I do have something to say. I mean, who will read it? Maybe I'm just writing it for myself. But I do have something to say that might ping with somebody, might resonate with somebody. The other thing, and I can't go into too much detail on this, is I've connected with somebody who has a project that could impact the world. I don't want to make it too grandiose, but it could impact the world. It has to do with somebody that's very well known in the world. Not the person I'm dealing with, but he's working within that. And he calls me and he consults with me, asks me for my opinions and things like that. And he said he wants me to be a part of this project at some point, which I have no idea what it is. I don't know what I could bring, but again, you don't always have to know. All you have to know is the door is opening and you keep taking a step and a step and a step. And it could lead to things that you had no idea that you could do or were available to you. So it's a lesson that keeps coming over and over again. Sometimes it's on a bigger scale, depending on our willingness to learn. Sometimes we have to keep relearning the same lessons because we're stubborn and we're unwilling to learn them. So life says, okay, let's throw it at you this way or this way. But that's how I see intention working. And when one of the challenges I see in coaching people is sometimes we try to force somebody to come up with an intention. In other words, I've done little challenges with people where I say, okay, the purpose of this is for you to know how this works. So we're going to send you out on a little challenge. And you're going to go out and you're going to choose something. You're going to find it. You don't know it's there. Like, say you're in St. George, right? I've done this in St. George. You're going to go out and think of something that you would not expect to find in St. George. And you're going to have a 2 hours go out. You're going to come back with it. And they got to come back with it. So if there's 50 people in there, you know, my butt's on the line because I'm saying this works. So I hope somebody comes back with something. Well, years ago, I had a man who was going to show me that this stuff is crap. So he said he was going to find a didgeridoo. Do you know what a didgeridoo is?
I do. They're really fun musical instruments. Yes.
Yeah, from the Aborigines in Australia.
They're very cool. Yeah.
Not only did he go out and find one, he found a man in St. George who makes them.
No way. Wow.
And he bought one and brought it back. And he was really amazed because he really did it to show this doesn't work.
That's so funny.
And he found a didgeridoo. And that's not the only example, but the reason I did that challenge was for them to experience. Go out and find something that you think is absolutely ridiculous. Write it down on a card, and they declared it before they go out. And 2 hours later, not everybody came back with it, but a lot of them came back and were like, wow. I was in Arizona. I did this. A lady said a diamond ring. just a diamond ring, and one that could be, you know, she could bring back, not go steal one. Because you know where you can find a diamond ring, or not to go buy one. So we went out to lunch, and I was walking out, and I always, you know, talked with the staff I had working with me, and then we'd go out to lunch. So we go out to lunch about 5 minutes after they do, but there's a bunch of people milling around in the parking lot that are in this little training, and they're screaming. I mean, not screaming in a bad way. They're just so excited. It's like, what happened? This woman that said a diamond ring walked out, and there laying on the ground was a diamond ring. And, you know, sometimes I'm going, oh, crap. This stuff really works. So, you know, this is an idea of how intention can work. And I think a lot of people have these feelings inside of them, but they allow logic and reason and their beliefs from the past to get in the way of having those things, because it's, oh, that's unreasonable, that's ridiculous, it can't happen. The power of intention works both ways. We can have a clear intention to go and get what we want, and we could also have a clear intention to get what we don't want so that we can be right that we can't have this. And it works in both ways. But the difference is, inside you feel like I'm settling, and you know you feel like you're settling. Where in the other one, you get it. I mean, it's a reason to get up in the morning, get up in the day. I actually look forward to writing. You know, will anybody read my book? I don't know. Do I want to read my book? You know, it's like hearing my voice. I don't want to hear it. But maybe I have something to say that would just impact somebody's life somewhere. So I don't know. I mean, it'll be self-published, no doubt. But I don't know. Maybe not. Do you know how Richard Paul Evans, you know who he is?
I do, actually. I've read several of his books.
Have you heard his story?
No, I haven't.
Oh, he tells it, so I'm not, you know, giving away a secret. He wrote, I think the first book was The Christmas Box. And he self-published it, and he goes back to New York to some publisher's convention. And he said he was sitting there, and he brought his books, but there was a whole table of and chairs for publishing companies and some of their offers. And he says he saw a chair with no name tag. In other words, it was a chair at this table, but there was no name tag. So he decides, I'm going to go sit there. And he takes his books up there, and he sees somebody that's working at this convention, and she's walking towards him, and he's thinking, oh, crap, I'm busted. And she comes over and says, would you like some water? And so gives him the water. Well, at that convention, somebody saw his books, a publisher, and I guess it's the publisher he has that publishes his books now. So the next year, he gets invited back officially to be at this convention and sit at this table. So he's back the next year, and he's sitting at that table with his books, and he sees the same woman working this thing. She walks up to him and says, oh, you're here legitimately this year. But the point of it is, he took a risk, followed a hunch, followed something inside of him, and he hasn't looked back since then. That's intention.
So I've read a book recently called Three Simple Steps, and he talks about intention and how that's how you manifest things. That's how you do things. As you set an intention, it's not a hope for, it's not a I wish thinking. It's a no, this is. I don't know how, I don't know when, but this is. It's going to happen. I just know it. And an experience that Remington had just recently, actually it was just yesterday. He was, or no, not yesterday. It was Wednesday. So he was sitting in his office, and they're having this issue with, you know, having capital for his land business, because, you know, a lot of the land that he buys is on his own capital, and he's done a capital raising group and a business and everything. And he was just like, you know, we just need to have like a hard money lender and just specific for land, because banks really don't want to loan for land. And he was getting really frustrated. And then he had this thought, like, why don't you start one? And of course, his ego was like, no, I don't want to, like, that's too risky. I don't want to have to deal with that. That's too much time and all this stuff. And he was just like, wait, if I didn't have to worry about the time or the investment, would I do this? And he was just like, yeah, I will. And then that day, he set an intention, like, he's going to do this. That day, he met someone or not met someone, but he, you know, got in contact with a friend who knows a hard money lender who had to close up shop because of the market, but is interested in opening up something else again. And so they connected through this friend, and they met yesterday. And this guy who's done hard money loans before, he's so interested. He's so excited about it. And Remington and his business partner are like all in on it. And it was just like, when he set that intention, it was like all these doors started opening up for him. And it was that push that, you know, the universe or God is saying, you're listening to me. I'm going to help you because you're listening to me. And I felt that so many times in my own personal life. And I was speaking with our interviewer on Wednesday about this too, is just like, when you take those steps, that even just that first step of following the promptings that you've been given, the feelings that you need to do this, or this is something you have to do. And then you take one step and you get all of this reassurance and all of this, like, you did the right thing. You're doing, you know, this is exactly what you're supposed to be doing. And then it's not going to be easy forever, but it's like knowing that God's got your back, or the universe has got your back and has been giving you all of these signs that this is exactly what you should be doing, lets you hang on while you're going through those hard times, the learning curve or the, you know, growth curve that you have to go through to get to where you want to be, where the intention is, right? And you're able to hang on, and you're able to know, like, even though this is hard, I know this is something that I'm supposed to do. And I feel like those moments are those times that you can really hang on to, those bright moments of like, he told me he's, or God's, you know, showing me that this is what I'm supposed to do, or the universe is it. They backed me up. The universe opened these doors. I can't turn it away. You know, even if it's hard, I can't turn it away. So I love that idea. And the intention is not, it's not a belief. It's a knowing. I liked that you said that. I thought that was really important.
Big difference, yeah, between the two.
Yeah.
So our little ego wants proof of everything. And so sometimes you kind of pacify it. So I'm going to throw this out to people. This is something my wife and I did a couple of years ago when we were in St. George. We threw out a challenge to people that I was coaching. Find a blue elephant. Now, you don't want a real blue elephant. I don't know if there is a blue elephant. But something that you can find and bring home, so that it just tells you the impossible is possible. Little evidence, because we like little evidence. That's our ego. I mean, when we know something. We don't need proof. So, but if the people watching this, give yourself a week and go find a blue elephant. Kathy and I did this, and I've given this kind of exercise out for years. Actually came from a book by Jonathan Bach. Do you know who that is? Jonathan Livingston Seagull. Richard Bach. Jonathan Livingston Seagull. He wrote another book, and I can't remember the name of it, but he talked about magnetizing. But anyway, you go out, give yourself a week, but within a week, you're going to come back with a blue elephant. Now, but it's a little blue elephant about that big, a little stuffed elephant. But we were looking everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. And one day we said, let's just go out and drive, and we'll go to where there's a blue elephant. So in St. George, there's a street, Sunset, across from, it's next to a grocery store, anyway, so there's a dollar store there. And so I'm like, we're going to go to the dollar store. And we go in there, and we're just kind of walking around, and I said, we're going to go right over there, and it's going to be there. And we go there, there's a rack of little stuffed things. And there was a blue elephant. And here's how you know you're not settling. Because when you see it, you go, huh! Kind of takes your breath away. Some people will settle. I mean, I had a challenge where a lady said she's going to go out and find a $100 bill. And she came back with a one, but she wrote two zeros on it. And it's like, yeah, that's not quite the idea. But she's like, yeah, I got it. I was clear. I got it. Like, yeah, I bet you don't feel anything other than you got a $1 bill. This is one of those things where when you find it, it kind of takes your breath away. You know, to see it. I mean, we don't care about this little stuffed elephant, but what it represents is the power we have to manifest to us things that we sometimes don't believe we can have. So Remington is an example of that, I think, as far as what he's doing. Just what he's doing in and of itself, you know. He just had this dream of, I'm going to go out and do this. And he's become very, very successful at it, I trust. But then when he hit a roadblock, you know, a lot of people go, oh, okay, I guess it won't work, or the economy, or this or that. The person with a clear intention moves past that. They don't ignore it, but they just find a way to deal with it so they can continue to do what they want to do. Getting to where I was, as far as my dream at one time was to be a trainer of this training company, I literally fell on my face when I was learning. I was in Sacramento and the trainer said, all right, go up there and you're going to do this part. And feeling, it's my first time being with him. Of course, I'm feeling totally inadequate. And so I'm walking up there and there's probably 50 people in the room. And I'm really thinking, God, if you strike me dead right now, that's okay. So, because I don't know what I'm doing. I went up and I kind of squeaked through a little bit of this, but there's a time where you go out and you engage the people. So we had a stage and it's got a step, but the step isn't attached to the stage. So I stepped down on the step and it kind of twisted and I fell on my face. And I'm thinking, all right. But then, oh, I'm still alive. But I got 50 people looking, going, who is this clown? You know, it doesn't always go smoothly. And depending on your clarity, you'll either get up, and I got up, and or you'll stay on the ground when you hit an obstacle. That was a big one for me, and I'll never forget it. And after the whole training was over, people in the training, it's very intense training, but at that point, they said they wanted to laugh, but they were afraid to because the German guy was still in the room. And I was the clown, but they wanted to laugh at that, but they knew if they did, they were going to get, it wouldn't be pretty. So anyway, you've got to be willing to fall down to get up. There's a song by Garth Brooks, Standing Outside the Fire. We'd play that before we do a fire walk. When we want to play it safe, we stand outside the fire, but sometimes we got to go through fire. We've got to risk being burned to get the things we want. So that was an owie moment for me. I've walked on hot coals too, and sometimes you get an ember and it hurts and it's ow. That was an owie moment, falling on my face in front of 50 people.
And I think that intention can work with the impossible and the maybe something that is just like you have a question in mind. So an example is when I went to Mexico, it was pretty much a training. It was like a 4-day training for mindset. And I had already been through the program. I just completed the program, but my mentor was doing this as kind of like a trial. It was the first time he'd ever done a trip like this. And he wanted people who were kind of prepared for something that was going to be very different. And he set up a bunch of questions and a booklet to fill out beforehand. And you know, one of the questions was, what's your intention? What's your intention for this trip? What do you want to get out of this trip? What are the questions that you have in your life right now? And that made a huge difference for me because when I was signing up for this, I was like, yeah, I want to get, like, this sounds so cool. It's going to be a new experience. Like, I didn't think that I was going to grow as much as I grew while I was there. And it was like, it took me sitting down on the airplane and just kind of calming my mind down and getting in tune with my spirit and God and listening to what it is that I really wanted. And I had a lot of turmoil that was going on in my head. I was like, you know, what's my greater purpose? You know, like I was listening to this 10X is easier than 2X book. And I shared this on Wednesday too, but it was like, I got really confused as to like what I should be doing. What's my 10X? You know, like what am I going to go 10X in? Because they talk about, oh, you got to pick one thing. And I'm like, not that I'm like talented in everything, but I have a lot of things that I enjoy and that I'm good at and that I want to be good at. And I was like, I don't know if I could just pick one thing. And I, you know, like, I don't know if I could make money doing this. Anyways, I had lots of questions. So I wrote down my questions. I wrote down the three things that I intended to get out of the trip. And they were to understand my greater purpose, to strengthen my relationship with my husband, and to connect with others. I don't speak Spanish. And in Chiapas, Mexico, almost nobody speaks English. They only speak Spanish. It's not a tourist attraction. It's deep, deep Mexico. And it turned out that every single one of those intentions came to me. And those are not like a big, like impossible thing, but I did set an intention and those things happened. And I wasn't sure when or why, or even it was like the last day even that I received a ton of information for my greater purpose and for, you know, all of this stuff, but it happened and it was my intention and I found it. And I think that, you know, you want to understand the power of intention. So start with something small like that. What are you intending for today? You know, like, what's your intention today? What do you want to get out of today? And at the end of the day, review, like, did you get what your intention was? And then once you get that, you know, that confirmation, you have the confidence to reach higher, reach the intention, and listen to your spirit when it says that it wants to do these impossible things. And our egos, and you mentioned this, our egos get in the way. It's like, you know, we don't want to be wrong. We don't want to fail. And a lot of times we look at ourselves and be like, no, there's no way I could do that. Like you said, like, who would want to listen to you, you know? But then 30 years of people listening to you, people changing their lives because they listened to you. And you talk about how they thought you were some kind of guru or you know, prophet. We limit ourselves. And when we take the limits off and we listen to what our spirits actually want, that's when we decide, okay, I'm going to do what my heart is telling me I'm going to do. And that's the intention. You're going on almost blind faith. You don't know how it's going to happen. You don't know how it's going to happen. You just know that it's going to, and that's just, you have to do this. You have to do this.
And when you're in that space, criticism doesn't faze you. When you're going for something, let's say, is ego-driven, like, I want to make a lot of money because I want, you know, power. Criticism will deter somebody from that. Or if you want to sing but you're not sure of yourself, all somebody has to do is say, you know, you suck at singing, and you just kind of like, okay, I'll go work at 7-Eleven or something like that, because nobody's going to, if they criticize me, I kind of expect it, because that's what you get at a place like that. But yeah, it's when you say what we want, it's not just like we want money or we want fame or we want this or that. There's a bigger element beyond that, that's where intention ties into. I want fulfillment. I want joy. I want peace. I want to inspire. So what I wanted to do was I wanted to make a difference in the world. Got into politics a little bit back in the 80s in California and realized, nope, that's not what they're here for. You know, but if I want money, because then I can buy a car and then I can look good and people will say, wow, you know, you're really something because you drive this car or you live over here. And that's not it. It's got to be something deeper, so that when we hit roadblocks, that part in here is going to push us through. Where if it's just I want people to look at me and say, wow, I want them to be impressed. Nah, we're not going to go through the fire for that. Not really. We're going to find a reason to quit, come up with all kinds of excuses. So yes, it has to be. It's not that it's impossible, but it may be for us. You know, if somebody's grown up and all they've had is criticism, the idea that they could feel love or fulfillment may seem impossible to them. But I had this so many times in the training, 4 days. You know, you said it was 4 days. I don't know what that was, and I can't imagine what it was like for you sitting there where everybody speaks Spanish. But I've had people that speak Spanish sit in the trainings I did, and I don't do them in Spanish. I couldn't. I don't know. I'm not that fluent in Spanish. But at the end of the 4 days, they were the same what you experienced, because there was a bonding there that is inexplicable, that goes on when humans open up their hearts and the hearts connect and they speak a language that we don't understand. So intention ties into all of that. And it's like, well, if somebody said, all right, Alyssa, you're going to go down to Mexico, sit with a bunch of people that don't speak English for 4 days, and you're going to bond with them. Your little ego said, bah, that ain't happening. But you're on the other side of it going, yeah, it did. And you don't maybe even know how, not really. You just know what happened. And that's how a lot of intention is too. So people, when they say, how can I get what you got? I don't know. I don't know what you get to go through because I don't know your life experiences and what beliefs you got to push through to get there. And I don't know. I mean, I can say this is what I did, but it doesn't mean you'll do that and get the same result. Because what I did was based on the inspiration moment to moment to moment. You may have different inspiration. That's why, you know, people say, this is a big thing in network marketing. We want to make a system that's duplicatable. Well, you know what it is, because the statistics in those things are the same. Year after year after year, you have X percent that'll do something and the rest will not. Some will make some money, some will just not make any money. And it doesn't really change. It's a duplicatable system. But see, people aren't duplicatable. People are different. And that's why, you know, you just got to, coaching people, you got to coach them on the intention, not what are you going to do? And how is that going to work? You don't know sometimes. I mean, Reming didn't say, sit down and go, I'm going to go find a hard money lender. That's something that had to come to him. It came to him. And if he would have said, no, I got to go over here and go over here and go over here, he might not have come up with that inspiration because he would have been blocked out by thinking, no, I got to do it this way or I got to do it this way. And maybe the inspiration was saying, get a hard money lender. And maybe the fixed belief, because, you know, that's a bad term to a lot of people, hard money lenders. Oh, they're dirty. Mafia. Things like that. But I know a lot of people that have used them. And they love them. So anyway, you made some great points there about your experience in Mexico. Because you didn't know how it was going to happen. And you're flying on a plane. That is blind faith. Flying down to Mexico for something.
Yeah, it was blind faith. I had faith in you know, my mentor. I knew that he wasn't going to do anything that, you know, was not going to keep us safe and everything. But I was very, like, anxious before I went. I was like, I don't know the language. I'm leaving my children, which I trusted the person I was leaving with them with. But I was still just like always, you know, leaving my children. I've heard horror stories about Mexico, you know, people either getting sick while they're in Mexico because of the food there. My mom and my sister were like, oh, that's so dangerous over there. Like, are you sure you're going to be safe and all that? And so I'm like, I don't know what I'm walking into, you know, like he gave us a very, very small overview of what we were going to do. And all that we really knew was that it was going to be life-changing. That's all we knew. So we walked into it. And the first thing that we do when we get into Mexico is my mentor is like, okay, Alyssa, I got you a taxi, but you have to talk to the taxi driver. And he knew I didn't speak Spanish. He speaks fluent Spanish. And I was like, okay. And so he told me, you know, what I needed to say to the taxi driver. So I was like able to communicate with him. But that was how the whole experience, you know, was the whole time, was that I had to find a way, because one of my intentions was to connect with the people. And I had to find a way to speak to them, even though I don't speak their language. And there were so many instances where I felt connected to the people that we were with on a very, very deep level with very minimal actual communication, like you were saying. And you also mentioned that, like, oh, how do you have an experience like that? Or how do you do that? You know, like, how did you get from X or A to Z, you know, and telling them, well, I did it this way, but I don't know if it'll work for you. That was very much like a theme in the training that we did, was that every person had a different experience and they each had something else that they wanted to get out of this trip. And some of them got more than what they had expected. But they were all different growth experiences because we're different and we grow different and we want different things. And, you know, that's what makes us unique. And that's why this intention is so powerful, is because it's unique to us. And we don't have to explain it. We don't have to even understand it. We just have to trust. We just have to trust the, you know, and have that intention and that knowledge that this is put in my heart for a reason. Like, you know, when I first started going back into musical theater, I shared this example of, I felt wrong because I was leaving my children and I wasn't being a good caretaker, all this stuff. And I felt like I had to explain away the desire that was in my heart. And I felt it so powerfully. And now I understand it was God puts desires in our hearts for a reason. He wants us to want things, and he wants what we want, you know? And when we follow our intentions, we'll see that. We'll see God saying, yes, finally, you're doing what I put in your heart, and you stopped limiting yourself because you have this faith in the finite world instead of the infinite. And so switching, this was something our interviewee talked about on Wednesday, was switching your source from a finite source to an infinite source. So switching it from even just money, you judge all of your actions on whether you can afford something or not. Well, is money your God? It's like, if you have the infinite source, you have infinite potential, and you are backed up by an infinite source, by God, then use him as the source. And don't question whether you can or cannot. Know that you can, because God will make it that way.
And it's learning to discern that element from our own little ego. And there is a difference. There's a feeling, there's a vibration, all that. And you said something is I don't understand what happened. And a man named Werner Erhard, I don't know if you ever heard of him, but he started Erhard's seminar trainings or whatever. He said, understanding is the booby prize of life. And the reason for that is you don't understand what you did. But the ego wants to understand it. But once we understand it, we tend to minimize the miracle. Oh, I understand it. It happened this way, and this way. So I'll just do this again, and I'll get the same thing. No, you won't. Because understanding, just put it into a box where you could do the same thing over and over again and never get the same result. Because the time you did it, the inspiration was different, where you were in your own life was different. So, but when we seek to understand something, we turn off inspiration. We want to piece it together ourselves so it's reasonable, logical, we can explain it. And that's a killer of inspiration because, gee, I don't understand why I'm feeling this doesn't make sense. So it must be a stupid idea and we'll discard it. So, yeah, you don't understand it. You just feel it and you know it and you follow it. And then the ego says, okay, what are you going to do? I don't know. I will be led. Well, that's stupid. And we, our ego, which is the finite, deals with limiting fixed beliefs based on our life experiences that say that can't happen. And, you know, that becomes, you heard people talk about my truth. Well, my truth is this. Our limiting fixed beliefs are a perfect example of my truth. My truth is I'm incapable. My truth is I'm not good enough. My truth is I'm this and that. And people don't want to believe those things, but then they lock into another my truth that they use to validate something they're doing in the name of being open and all blah, blah, blah. And it's a limiting fixed belief either way. There's truth, and truth is truth for you, for me, for everybody. There's not my truth, your truth, because our truth, what we deem our truth, are limiting fixed beliefs that we have to keep us into a box. So part of intention is being open to the possibilities that are outside of our limiting fixed beliefs, to things we may want in, on a bigger and greater level. So I'm all amped up right now, I've got to tell you, because the things that are going on, which I want to tell you, I'm going to refrain because something says just keep it under wraps for now. But there's some things that could have a big impact on our lives, me and Kathy, going on. It could. Doesn't mean it will. It's just, you know, again, with intention, it doesn't mean you have to get it. You got to listen step by step and follow the steps. And, you know, a couple things could happen. One, I could make a misstep. Or two, maybe what I'm seeing isn't necessarily where I'm supposed to go. I'm not there yet. I'm at step one, and my little mind says, okay, this is what step 10 would look like, but maybe as I go along the path in this journey, what I am envisioning as a possibility is only a possibility, but maybe it's the steps I take lead me to something else that might even be bigger and greater than, and it doesn't mean it'll be, you know, grandiose in the sense of everybody in the world will feel it, but it may make an impact on mine and Kathy's life, and
which is an impact on your world,
right? So absolutely
a really great example of this, I feel like, is my audition that I did last month for a really big, prominent theater. It was Hale Center Theater in Sandy. They got their big new thing. And I live in St. George, which is like 4 hours away from that theater. And I was just up north, like driving. I don't even remember what it was for. Maybe it was over Christmas break. I don't remember. But I just remember feeling so intensely that I needed to audition for the show. Like, I needed to. And I questioned it, especially when I was doubting myself a lot with my capabilities. And I did audition. I didn't make it. I didn't know why I was going to audition. And I still don't know. But I did. I did it, and I put my best effort in it, and I was very proud of what I gave them. It was one of the best performances I've given, and I like revamped my whole resume, and I looked like a professional. And it was like, maybe it was just that growth opportunity that I needed to step up and say, you can do this. You can be proud of yourself and you can do this. And I don't know what it was for, but that was one of those examples of like, I just did what I was being inspired to do, something that I felt strongly that I needed to do. It didn't go the way that maybe most people would have thought. Like, if you're really inspired to do that, maybe you should expect to get a role or be in the show or whatever. But I was like, I went in with zero expectations. I went in with the intention to audition, and that was my intention. And my hope was that I got in and that I got the role that I wanted. But I was trusting that I was doing this for a reason, and my purposes are not the same as God's purposes all the time. And when you talk about not wanting to share what's going on.
I just feel like right now I don't know enough. I'm not clear enough to really say a whole lot.
So
other than something's bursting.
Yeah, and that's exciting. That's what you hold on to. In that Three Simple Steps book, he talks about when you have things like that, sometimes it's safer to not share those ideas with other people. Because we talked about this in another podcast, you know, thoughts have energy. And, you know, a lot of times things are created as thought before they're actually created. And not even a lot of times, every time something is a thought before it's created. And that includes other people's thoughts about your dreams. And so if you share your dreams with the wrong people, their thoughts can affect your outcome. And that's his philosophy. I don't know how much I feel that, but I do think that in some way, other people's thoughts can affect your thoughts and your vision. It's like when I started telling people that I was going to audition for this big show, people were like, oh, okay.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Well, like, okay. And I just remember there were some times when I was like rehearsing with my voice coach, and she was just like, okay, well, you know, maybe make it your goal that you get callbacks, you know? And I was like, oh, okay. Like, my voice coach didn't have faith in me. And that came back to me, that energy. I felt it. Even when people were trying to be supportive, I felt the energy that they were like, we'll be here when you fall, you know? And it affects your energy and your intent. And so that was one thing that I realized, that maybe there's sometimes when you just don't want to share, and or you listen to the inspiration, the intuition of when to share it with the people that you know are going to believe in your beliefs, you know? So just as a thought.
Well, when we were, you know, texting back and forth on what to talk about, I just had this thing of, let's talk about this. I don't know where it's going to go. But, you know, going back to your audition, you didn't know, you said something like you didn't know if you could do this and do it well or something earlier, just a few minutes ago. My 70-year-old brain doesn't remember clearly, because you said a few other things, but something to the effect of you weren't sure about yourself going in. Well, maybe the whole idea, maybe, is that on the other side you went, wow, I can do this. So who knows if there's going to be a challenge in 6 months where you're like, oh gosh, I don't know if I can do this. And you go, I didn't know if I could do that either. And I did better than I believe. So maybe this is just my little ego saying, you can't do this, and it's just trying to stop me, but maybe I am more powerful than I believe, just like I was for the audition. So maybe this was simply a lesson to learn for you to realize you're more than you think you are. And so you put that in storage sometimes, and then later on, you know, there's a big challenge that you think is bigger. Actually, no challenge is bigger than any other one for the place we are in our life. In other words, when you're a child, learning to walk is the challenge. Now we just get up and do it. But that's a big challenge. You know, they don't just get up and walk. They've got to learn, and they got to fall down a few times to learn to walk. So that's a big challenge. And then they learn to talk, and that's a big challenge. And then they learn to read and to write and all that stuff, step by step. So no challenge is really bigger than the last one. It's just in perspective. It seems bigger, but also in perspective, our ability to take it on is bigger too. And a lot of times we don't give ourselves credit for that. We just look at this and say, oh, that's too big for me. But so maybe that's, you know, maybe that's the whole I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying, you don't know. But maybe there's a challenge that comes along and you go, oh, I remember when I didn't think I could do that audition, and look what I did. So maybe I'm bigger than I think I am on this one too. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like I look back on that audition and I am very, very proud. And I feel it in my heart that it was what I was supposed to do. I don't have the answers to exactly why. And even if it's just for my growth opportunity, it was worth it. It was something that I came back and I was like, whoa, look at what I did. Look at what I spent so much time and effort on it, and it turned out to be amazing. And I was so proud of myself and my resume and my audition. And it was like, there are very few moments in my life but times when I've done an audition like that. I can think of one other time where I felt like I gave my best and it went exactly the way that I had wanted it to go. Whether it was enough for somebody else doesn't matter. It was enough for me, and it was what I wanted to give, and it was my best at the time. And that, I think, was just one of those, I don't know, it was a growth moment that, like, I am more capable than I believed I was. And now I know that I'm that capable. And now it's just like, okay, what's the next? I don't know how capable I am. What's the next growth period, you know?
It's the blue elephant. I don't really want a blue elephant. I'm not saying you didn't want to do this audition, but I didn't really want a blue elephant. But going out and finding something I didn't think to find, it's a memory for me of the possibilities of when we're seeking something that we don't know is there. If we can do it, we just keep pursuing. And if we feel it in our heart, we get it. You're not going out to do the blue elephant because you want a blue elephant. You want to experience yourself more powerful, and you want to experience the power of the universe working with you to get what you want out of life. So your experience is for you. We're not all going to go out and sing because it would be ugly. But your experience for you is, you know, huge for you.
It comes back to awareness, I think. But this intention comes back to awareness, being connected to yourself, connected to others, connected to the present, and connected to your greater purpose, right? And when you're connected, you start receiving that inspiration, and that's when you get those intentions. That's when you set those intentions, because it's a choice. And we've kind of touched on that a little bit in this podcast, but it's a choice. It's a choice whether you're going to set that intention or you're going to let the ego take over and say it's impossible. And it's like when you have that tug on your spirit and you are connected and you're able to listen, then you can say, I'm going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. And one thing that I love that my mentor always told me was, you know, when you set that intention, and then we've talked about visualization. You can visualize that as if it already is, and you can live as if you already are, which is this podcast name, is you live as though you've already done it. You already are. When I was preparing for the audition, every single day, every single night, I would spend visualizing myself in the part that I wanted. And I was like, I thought about how it would feel to be on stage. I thought about how it would feel to greet the audience afterwards. You know, like, I thought about what it would be like if I got that role. And it's just one of those things that when you set that intention, then you just live as though you already, it already happened. And I loved that because it made me feel less tied to the result, because in my brain, I already did it. And so it wasn't a big deal that I didn't get the role that I wanted. It doesn't mean I won't ever get the role, but I didn't get it then. And I feel like, you know, when you visualize it in that way and you have that kind of bigger picture of maybe not yet, then you get less tied to the results. You get less tied to what you imagine it should have been when it should have been. You just believe and you live as though you've already done it and you already are. So I think that's a really big part to tie in intention with that, with the living as though you've already done it. Like this book, this guy would, he had this intention. He wanted to live an abundant life. He had goals that he wanted for money and things like that. And he would live as if he, I mean, he would live, quotation marks, as if he had already had all this money. He would go window shopping for mansions, for cars, and eventually airplanes and yachts and things like that. And he would begin that journey with, I'm setting an intention that I'm going to own this house. And I'm going to go talk to these people. I'm going to have them walk me through this house. And then a few years later, he'll have manifested a house almost just like that. And it was just like him visualizing and being what he wanted to be already. And I think that when you set that intention, follow it up with that. Follow it up with living it as though it already is. That you know it is. Because that's what an intention is. It's not a belief. It's a knowing. And when you know, you might as well just live as though you already are.
Well, you know, the mind's very powerful. So is visualization. And what we don't always realize, we visualize all the time. So if you've had a painful experience or I've had a painful experience, you can be in a good mood, and then in a moment something reminds you of that and it can shift your whole mood, depending on what it is, of course, and the degree of it. But if it's especially emotionally painful, you can feel that as if it's happening. So when people say, well, visualization isn't real, but think about it. If you visualize a painful experience of the past and you bring it into the now, it's real right now. Even though the event isn't happening right now, it is happening to you, and your whole physiology will shift, where your whole chemistry can shift, because it's all energy and it's responding to the energy that you're feeling of pain, emotional pain. So if you say visualization is not real, in that moment, it is. Your past, well, so what I'm saying is when you visualize, people say it's not real. When you visualize, your brain does not know the difference between what you're experiencing outside of you and what you're seeing in your mind. So if you can visualize powerfully enough the things that you just talked about, it is real. You are feeling that, just as you're feeling the pain of something that may have happened when you're 3 years old. You know, your father didn't come home for your birthday and you felt so disappointed, or mommy didn't, you know, whatever. And you think about, I mean, I think about some painful things that my people, you know, that they did. And it's like, oh, I got to shift this because I know I'm going down a black hole. It's as if it's happening again. So if that is true, then if you visualize something that you really desire, it's just as true, even though you're not experiencing it right now. So I'm hopefully what I'm saying is validating or kind of throwing a spin on what you said so that people can grasp the reality of it and how it can work. Because we do it all the time, we just don't know it. But typically we do it with pain.
Yeah, and you think about when you have a really vivid dream. I don't know how often this happens, but when I have a really vivid dream, it's usually a painful dream, like a nightmare or something, and you wake up and you feel awful the rest of the day because your body felt all the emotions that you were feeling in that dream. And I'll give you another example. There's a couple, you know, like you can visualize things that have never happened before. This is what causes people anxiety and anxiety attacks of the possibility that this thing might happen. It hasn't even happened, but it might happen. And they get so, their body feels it so real that they have an anxiety attack, basically a self-induced heart attack, because their mind doesn't know the difference between what they're imagining and reality. And so that's like a negative side. And then you think about actors, and many actors will tell you they are different people when they're acting. They become the character. And there are many times when actors, my voice coach shared this with me. There was a woman who was in The Color Purple, and she did an interview on like Good Morning USA or Good Morning America or something like that. And they asked her if she would sing the big song that she has in that show. And she was like, I can't go back there, because it was such an emotional thing for her. It was so real for her, because she made it real because she wants the audience to think that it's real, right? That's the whole idea, is that an actor is to make it feel real. And in order to do that, you've got to feel those emotions. And your brain doesn't tell the difference, which is why it's easy for an actor, a very good actor, at least an actor that does this, to cry in moments when it's like, my mother just died or my child just died. It's like that becomes real for them and they can show that emotion. And so that's another example of how visualization is so powerful. Our brains they don't see the difference. And so this visualization that I did, it hasn't manifested yet, but it's still so real to me. I've felt that. I've been there. I performed. I did it. And it'll manifest someday.
And when you feel that, your whole energy radiates that. You know, just as you're talking about it, you radiate it. You are radiating this. Or, you know, when I talk about intention, I'm excited. And it's like, well, what? Oh, I'm not going to tell you. But hopefully you can feel the energy. So, you know, people that work 9 to 5, which I used to be, Monday, it's Monday, 4 days ahead. Friday, we're all upbeat. Why? Because we're already in Saturday. So we're already in the weekend. But come Sunday, why? Because we're already thinking about Monday. And, you know, if people doubt the power of visualization, Friday is an up day because we got the weekend coming. 2 days off. Really only one, though, because Saturday we have off. But then Sunday, we're thinking about Monday. But we're not even in Monday, but we're already feeling the blues of Monday. Where on Friday, we're feeling the energy of being off on Saturday. Or if you're on vacation in Hawaii, the day before you go, you're excited. You're in Hawaii. Then the day before you come home, oh, we got to go home tomorrow. Even if you do fun things, that's always a little dark cloud over it. This is the last day. So you're already in the future, and that's, we miss the now as a result. But, you know, that is a great, great point there for, you know, if we could all get this, because I forget, you know, I've only been doing this for 30 some years, but I forget, you know, and I get caught up in it too. But this has been really exciting for me. I'm glad we did this, because, you know, this has all been coming up for me. And, you know, there are some things I've been doing, some things I put in motion, but a lot of times it's like, okay, I've done what I can do. Now let it just trust the process. And then the next step will be revealed to me. And that's where we can also stress out, because I don't know what the next step is. You don't have to know, but we can stress over it. Because we don't know. And then when it reveals itself, it's like, oh, I never would have thought to do that. But then we do it, and it's like, oh, I see why I did that.
I love it. That's amazing. Well, thank you so much, Michael. This was an awesome episode. I'm glad. I mean, like, you had a lot that you felt like you wanted to share, and I've eaten it up. I loved every minute of it. And what's going on with you guys? I can't wait to hear.
I hope I wasn't just vomiting over everybody.
No, you could feel the energy and the belief that you have about intention, and especially right now what's going on with you. And so I can't wait to see what happens. I love that. Can't wait to see what unfolds. Hey, I know I've mentioned my trip to Chiapas, Mexico a few times in the past couple of podcasts, simply because it was so transformational for me. I remember when we were getting back on the plane home, sitting in the airport and looking at my husband and going, what just happened? wow, that was absolutely incredible. Like, I can't even wrap my mind around the experiences that we just had and the growth that we both experienced. And I bring this up because my mentor is actually looking for a select group of people to go on another trip. So if you or someone you know would be interested in going on this transformational trip, just direct message me on Instagram or Facebook. I'd love to connect you. It really is a life-changing experience and a very humbling experience as well. So if it is something that you're interested in, just let me know and I'd love to connect you guys. All right. Well, thank you for joining us on another episode of You Already Are. If you liked this episode, go ahead and hit the subscribe button and share it with your friends and family. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook and reach out to us. We love to hear from you guys. Let us know if you found your blue elephant, what it was, or if it actually was the blue elephant. We love to hear about that. We'll catch you guys next time.
Find the blue elephant.
Find the blue elephant. Okay. We will catch you guys next time on another episode of You Already Are. Thank you for joining us on another episode of You Already Are. Remember, you already are everything you aspire to be. Continue this journey and embrace the beauty it brings. Create the life you desire and remember your infinite worth and infinite potential. Until next time, live as though you already are.